Hello there. Hi, my name is Gerrit and I work for Care for the Family. Thank you very much to Mark and the team for inviting us to be here with you today. It's an absolute joy and a privilege to be with you at the beginning of a new year. As you start your new series called A New Start With. And I get to speak to you today a little bit about relationships. But firstly, Mark has kindly allowed me to just tell you very briefly a little bit about the work of Care for the Family. You know, relationships have been at the heart of what we do at Care for the Family for the last 3 decades or so. Our main areas of work are marriage and parenting and bereavement. If someone has lost a life partner early in life or perhaps they're living with the grief of the loss of a child, we come alongside these people. And then, of course, when families are going through tough times, perhaps single parent families, families with children with additional needs, or just the normal ups and downs of family life, we want to be there for those families. Now, of course, we've always said that we don't want to just pick up the pieces when things go wrong, but we want to help families build fences during the good times to prepare them for when those tough times come. So since 1988, we've produced resources and we support and encourage families throughout the whole of the UK, from Aberdeen to Aberdare and from Belfast to Brighton. And we always say to people in the UK, if you see any of our resources online, and right now perhaps you're just struggling a little bit to afford it, just write to us and we will gladly send it to you absolutely free. And if you want to join us in our work, a little bit later on, I'll share with you how you can do that. Now, as I said, my name is Gerrit. I'm from South Africa, born and bred. I first came to the UK on a rugby tour to Cardiff in 1997. And I saw a pretty girl across the road, a Welsh girl, and I married her. Not that same day, some while later, but we've been married now for more than 22 years. So as a South African, I suppose it's needless to say that I love the game of rugby. But I am a little bit reluctant to admit that one of my favorite players of all time is a New Zealander, an All Black, the ex-captain called Richie McCaw. Now, Richie McCaw is probably the most decorated rugby player in the history of the game. Gosh, this guy played 148 test matches, 110 of those as captain. Do you know, in an international career of 148 matches, how many he lost? Only 15. This guy won honours, 12 international titles with the All Blacks. Twice he was the victorious captain, lifting consecutive World Cups, something that has never been done. And on three occasions, he was voted the World Player of the Year. This is an incredible sportsman. But it is said that he used to keep a notebook. And in this notebook, he just write down little notes to himself and little mantras and stuff just to keep him on task, you know, just to motivate him and keep him focused. But apparently, on every match day, he would go to a new page in this notebook and he would write right at the top there in big bold letters, "Start again." I find this remarkable. This man, with everything that he's achieved and everything that he knows about success and commitment and leadership and all these things, but on every match day he would write down "start again," as if he would put all his successes and failures behind him. He wouldn't forget the lessons learned from those, but he would put them behind him and just because there's nothing you could do about those, but start again. And you know, as we stand at the beginning of a new year, and I know that we're all in different places in our lives at the moment, and I understand that you're going through a tough time in church with the loss of one of your own, and my heart goes out to you with that as well. And those of you who are watching here will have all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. Some will be married and some won't. And they'll be young and old, and some are healthy and some are struggling with health. And there'll be those who are not worried about money and others who are a little bit. All kinds of people, all kinds of different situations. But may I just encourage you right at the start of this new year, whatever your situation is, just listen to what I want to share with you today and interpret it for your situation and or perhaps just put it in your back pocket for some time later. You know, I care for the family, we often get asked the question, what is the major cause of breakdown in relationships, in families and marriages? And the answer is, well, it's this very modern notion that love is just a feeling. And the moment that feeling goes, well, we can walk away and we can just begin a new relationship. Some years ago, a young couple came for counseling to the offices of Care for Family. And it was my boss, Rob, who saw them. And they sat in his office and the lady was holding a tiny little baby, 6 months old, in her arms. And she was fast asleep. And Rob looked at the young man and he said, well, why are you leaving your wife? And he said, I don't feel in love anymore. And Rob said to him, but didn't anyone ever tell you that the feelings of love go up and down? Didn't anyone ever tell you that, you know, summer love is easy when the sun is shining and the flowers are blooming and the birds are singing. But winter love is something very different. Winter love, when the storms are brewing and it's dark and it's rainy and it's difficult, that sometimes we need to fight through that winter love, but that this is normal? Didn't anybody ever tell you that the feelings of love go up and down? Didn't anybody tell you that, you know, sometimes after the birth of a new one, a relationship can be a little bit strained? And this isn't uncommon. The sex isn't so great, or perhaps you're rowing a little bit more. Has anyone ever told you about winter love? And this young man just looked at Rob and said, no, no one has told me that. And Rob can't help himself but gaze at this little baby girl, fast asleep in her mother's arms. And the first man in her life is about to walk out on her forever. And no one ever told him that. You know, Beck and I have been married for 22 years in that time, you can't go through 22 years of marriage without some challenges. And we've had some amazing highs and some really real lows and some challenges as well. But let me tell you something about love. Love is hard work, man. Love is much more than a feeling. It's an act of the will. Do you know that in the Bible, the word love, you can find the word love more than 500 times in the Bible. And in the book of Corinthians, where the nature of love is explained, there's nothing about love being a feeling. It's all about doing. Love does things. Let me read it to you. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Dear friends, as we find ourselves at the beginning of a new year, as we make a new start, if we are ever to love anyone for the long haul, we will need to really understand this truth. Love is much more than feeling. It's an act of the will. And then, of course, there are other relationships. Relationships with friends, with extended family, with colleagues. But I want to focus for a few minutes on a very specific type of relationship that we at Care for the Family refer to as shoulder-to-shoulder relationships. A friend of mine some time ago, a church leader from Bristol, told me a heartbreaking story. It was a Friday night. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and he and his wife were watching a movie together, and the phone rings. And at first he thinks, no, I'm not going to answer the phone. It's late at night. I'm having a good time. It's Friday night. And then he thought, well, if someone is ringing at 10 o'clock, then perhaps it's urgent. His wife is the first to react, and she picks up the phone. And the moment she begins to speak, Philip realized that something is dreadfully wrong. Moments later, she puts the phone down, and she says to Philip that his best friend's son had just been killed in a car crash. They'd been out in a youth group Friday night. The youth group had a meeting at church, and afterwards they were walking down the street to a local coffee shop in Bristol, and a woman came around the bend, off her head on drugs, lost control of the car, and just plowed into this group of youngsters, and this boy was killed instantly. And the next morning, Philip went over to his friend's house, and he knocked on the kitchen door. His friend opened up and what do you say? Well, Philip didn't need to say anything. He just held his friend and they cried. And he didn't need to say anything because over a period of some years, they had built this incredible shoulder-to-shoulder friendship, this relationship. Every Friday morning, they would meet in a park, and they would buy a cup of coffee, and they'd just walk through the park, and they'd just talk, shoulder-to-shoulder, side-by-side, just walk and talk about life, some of its challenges, some of its ups and downs, finance, family, work, just talk about life. So on that Saturday morning when he knocked on the door, he didn't need to say anything. He just needed to be there for his friend. And once Philip told me this incredible story, I realized I needed shoulder-to-shoulder friendships in my life. So I've cultivated two levels of shoulder-to-shoulder friendships. Now, I know that this will be different for everyone else, but this is what works for me. Once a week, I meet with a group of guys. We meet online now. And we just look at some of the challenges of life, and we encourage one another. We look at what the Bible has to say it, and we walk together. We do life together. And the reason for this is the Bible often talks about life as a race. The Apostle Paul says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." And these guys help me to run this race of life, help me to fix my eyes on Jesus. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, it also says, two is better than one, because if one stumbles, the other can help them up. But pity the one who stumbles and has no one to help them up. So I meet with this group of friends. That's the one level, but you can't wear your heart on your sleeve with everyone. So I also meet with a friend, a man who's become a good friend over the years. And once a month or so, we sit down and we have breakfast and we talk about life. We talk about our hopes and our dreams and our fears and our failures. And we pray for one another, and we pray for one another's families. Just doing this life together, shoulder to shoulder relationships. Very powerful. I came across a study some time ago, 200 church leaders in America who had all fallen into an affair with women from their congregations. And three things kept cropping up time and time again. Number one, they no longer had their own quiet time with the Lord. Number two, they began counseling women behind closed doors. Number three, they no longer had another person to be accountable to. That's the power of shoulder-to-shoulder relationships. We were never meant to run this race of life alone. Two is better than one, because if one stumbles, the other can help them up. The sheer power of a shoulder-to-shoulder relationship. Well, just in a moment, I'm going to finish off with the last type of relationship, and that is our relationship with God, and the fact that we are loved unconditionally. We do not need to earn His love. But before I get there, as I said earlier, Mark has kindly allowed us at Care for the Family to just share a little bit with you about our work, and just like we depend, and like I depend on others to help me through this race of life, at Care for the Family we also depend on others. We can't do it by ourselves. We get no government help at all, but we are supported every month faithfully by our partners. Some give a little, some give a little bit more, some keep it going for a long while, some for a shorter. But our partners are our lifeblood. We cannot do the work that we do. Now, in the beginning there, you would have seen that little video clip of some of the work and the projects we do at Care for the Family. But I want to share one with you that's quite close to my heart, and that is our Take a Break holidays. These are subsidized holidays for single parent families that would otherwise perhaps not have an opportunity to go on holiday. And I've seen over these, I've volunteered for a few of them, and I've seen over these holidays the most incredible changes in some of the families. All of these holidays are held at Christian Adventure Centers, so all the personnel there are Christians as well. And every night they have these little devotions, very short, and incredibly well done to keep the interest of the kids as well. And many of the parents and the kids that come to these events are not Christian, but it's incredible to see how over the week they change. I want to tell you about one boy. on one of these holidays, I can remember it was a Thursday afternoon, and we were doing we were playing these games with the kids on a big sports field, and the parents just had a little bit of a time off, time by themselves, and as we were playing these kids these games this one kid was incredibly disruptive, and after a while I said to him, right, Perry, you and me right now, we're going for a walk. So we start walking to these massive sports grounds, and we start walking around these sports grounds. And I say to him, Perry, do you know what? You are such a strong character. You have such a great personality. All these other kids look up to you. You are fit and strong, and you're good at sports, and they all follow you. So you can use this influence you have over them and be disruptive and cause chaos, or you can channel this energy and this influence of yours and have a good effect on them and have a positive effect on them. He understands, he said. And so we return to the game, and we're playing rounders. So with rounders, you have a soccer ball, you roll it to one person who kicks it and then runs like in a baseball game to the different bases. But this kid is he's a good little soccer player, a good runner, but he's a bit cocky. So I knew exactly what he was going to do. And I went and I positioned myself where I thought he was going to kick the ball, because I knew he was just going to smash this ball. And true to form, he gave it his best shot. The ball came straight to me and I caught him out. And a little while later, he gets another opportunity. I thought, nah, he's going to do the same thing. So I stand there. He kicks the ball straight to me and I catch him out. The third time I caught him out, he said to me, the kids call me G-Man on camp. He looked at me, he said, G-Man, right, you and me, right now, we're going for a walk. So I said, oh, okay, let's go. So we're off on this walk, and he says to me, G-Man, how can you motivate a kid? How can you motivate a kid to be good and positive and do all these good, nice things, and then you catch him out every time? So I said to him, okay, I think I understand. You have a point. I'm sorry. And then later that afternoon, as we were walking back to the accommodation, this little boy was walking next to me, and I said to him, Perry, tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, before any of the activities start, I know you like running. I'm going to go for a run at 7 o'clock. So if you are at the front door at 7 o'clock, you can come with me. Except if it rains. I'm not going to go running if it rains. Now, when I was about 40 years old, I joined the British Territorial Army, but specifically the parachute squadron, and I qualified for the paras. And somehow these kids heard about this, and he looked up at me when I said I was not going to run in the rain, and he looked up at me and he said, I thought you were a para. I said, what does that have to do with anything? He said, well, you don't want to run in the rain. So, okay, I see what you're saying. 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, doesn't matter what the weather is, I will be at the front door. And the next morning, he and his mother were there, 7 o'clock, and he went running with me, and we had a really good time. The following morning, when I turned up at the front door, there were 8 kids waiting for me, all with their running shoes on, ready to go for a run. A few months later, I ran into the mum of one of these kids at an event, her Care for the Family event, and she said to me that her boy had not missed a single park run on a Saturday morning ever since that holiday. Incredible effect that we have on these families. It was my absolute privilege to share some time with a dad on that same holiday, and this is a single parent dad. He lost his wife who died of cancer, and at the start of the week he said to me he doesn't pray anymore, doesn't go to church anymore, but by the end of the week we sat around a table and we had another cup of coffee, and I had to fight back the tears as he and I prayed together. And the influence and the effect that these holidays have on these people are absolutely incredible. So if this is something that you can support us with, please just on the website, if you click on the website and there's a web address on the screen right now. On the website, just click on the donate button, put in the details, and we will send you a thank you, a partner pack. Our partnerships have always been a two-way affair. A thank you with some resources that you can use yourself or perhaps share with others. The final relationship I just want to share with you here today is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. some years ago, we came across this incredible story. A man was speaking to an audience of about 4,000 people at a huge festival, and he told this amazing story. He said, I called up my mother and I said to her, "Mum, I have some business in town tomorrow. Can I come and stay with you?" And of course you can, darling, she said. Now, Jeff had a wonderful relationship with his mum and his dad, but when his dad was in his 80s, he had a stroke and he could no longer talk. And Jeff says that was really hard for him because as he and his mum were sitting there on that evening chatting away at the kitchen table, drinking cocoa, his dad could just sit there and smile. And then after a while, he excused himself and his mum had given him his old bedroom for when he was a boy. And Jeff says, I was lying in bed and my mind went back all those years to when I was a little boy, and I could see a picture of a Spitfire on the wall. And in my mind's eye, I could see a cricket bat in the corner and some rugby boots on the ground. And the next minute, there's a knock on the door. And it's Jeff's dad. And Jeff says, come in. And his dad comes up to him and he looks down and he smiles and he straightens the top sheet across his shoulders. And he notices a hair in Jeff's eye. And he licks his finger and he wipes it away from his forehead. And then he bent down and he kissed Jeff and he turned around and he walked out the room. And Jeff says, "There I am. I'm lying in bed. I'm 45 years old. I have kids of my own, I have people who work for me, and I've just been tucked in by my own father." But boy, didn't that feel good. And then Jeff looked out at this audience of 4,000 people and he said, "I don't know what your experience is of your earthly father, but that is what your heavenly father wants to do for you here today. He wants you to know that you are loved, and he wants you to have the sense that that you've just been tucked in by him." So guys, it's been an absolute privilege to be here with you today and to share with you a little bit about a new start with relationships. But the truth is, I don't know any of you, and I don't know what your experience of your Heavenly Father is, but I hope that you will have that sense today that your Heavenly Father loves you unconditionally. There's nothing to prove. We do not need to earn his love. Thank you for listening. God bless.